In a world where supernatural beings exist in a strict hierarchy, Micah Bane has just been given an impossible second chance. After enduring 6 years of torture in a prison for supernaturals called The Facility, she faces death in a raging fire with one final promise to herself. If given another chance, she would live unapologetically as herself. Then, the impossible happens. Micah awakens in her 17-year-old body at Wensridge Academy, years before her imprisonment. Her scarred prisoner's body is gone, replaced by fair skin, rose gold hair, and bright blue eyes. This is no dream. She's truly been reborn. Strange black marks appear on her hips, elongated symbols that feel oddly familiar, though she's never seen them before. Whether miracle or curse, Micah seizes this opportunity not just for survival, but for vengeance against those who betrayed her, particularly her manipulative half-sister Saria, who orchestrated her downfall.
Wensridge Academy mirrors Supernatural Society's rigid structure, where worth depends on magical ability and family connections. As a powerless witch, Makai occupies the lowest position. Wolf shifters Jeremy and Jake physically assault her. Ivy Harris dumps spoiled milk on her, while Dean and Leon attempt sexual assault. Most painful is the betrayal from childhood friends, Kane, Xander, Anders, and Knox, who've aligned with her half-sister Saria, who orchestrates Makai's torment behind an angelic facade. Most Academy staff ignore or enable the bullying, with only Mr. Valor treating everyone equally. Beyond human threats, strange magical beasts somehow penetrate the Academy's protective barriers. The bullying escalates when Ivy, Jeremy, Jake, and Alice drug and kidnap Makai, abandoning her in the forest with dangerous creatures. "They're actually trying to kill me," she realizes. Despite her drugged state, she escapes her bindings, only to face a horse-like wyvern creature. In a desperate fight, she manages to kick it off a cliff, but before another beast can attack, a massive blue-eyed creature intervenes, saving her. This attempted murder transforms Makai, who later warns Alice, "If I'm going to be treated like the bad guy, I might as well become one." Determined never to be a victim again, Makai begins secret training on her first night back. She slips into the restricted forest, where she throws punches and kicks until she's drenched in sweat. Though her 17-year-old body lacks the strength her mind remembers, she improves rapidly, especially after removing Sarah's charm bracelet that she suspects was keeping her weak. Her training escalates when she steals elven daggers from the weapon shed, leading to an unexpected alliance with Mr. Valor, who catches her but offers proper training instead of punishment. They meet in an abandoned building where he teaches her advanced combat techniques, treating her as an equal rather than a student. Makai's newfound abilities become evident when Jeremy, Jake, and another boy corner her with threats. She efficiently breaks Jeremy's nose, winds Jake with a kick, and knocks out the third boy. Along with her combat skills, Makai notices other changes: enhanced strength, accelerated healing, and the strange ability to mold metal with her bare hands. "Witches don't possess this kind of physical strength, and I'm certainly not a shifter," she wonders. "So what am I becoming?" Makai's path to revenge takes an unexpected turn when she catches the interest of the Infernal Four: Annex, Ezra, Malin, and their leader, Creed. These dangerous, powerful men are feared throughout the Academy for their reputation for violence. Her first encounter with Annex occurs when he threatens her with a blade in class. Instead of showing fear, Makai leans into the blade until it draws blood. "Or get used to sharing," she says coolly. Her fearlessness intrigues him. "It's been a while since I've had anything fun to play with." Their connection deepens when Annex invites her to Fight Night, an underground fighting venue where she witnesses his brutality firsthand as he savagely beats an opponent. Despite his clearly unhinged nature, Makai finds herself drawn to him. "Never lose that fight in you," he tells her. "With it, you can do almost anything." Ezra presents a different kind of danger, playful on the surface, but protective and potentially lethal underneath. When Xander insults Makai, Ezra coldly intervenes, later confessing, I'm not the nice guy everyone thinks I am. As Makai spends more time with them, she realizes they've survived their own versions of hell, just as she has. Makai carries the weight of losing her mate, Zrael, whom she met in the facility. Their relationship developed through a cement wall separating their cells, beginning with music. After brutal testing sessions, she would hear Zrael humming with his beautiful singing voice, a stark contrast to his painful speaking voice. When Makai joined his singing, he called her voice beautiful, the first compliment her singing ever received. As one of the few remaining sirens, Zrael identified Makai as his fated mate through their singing. For 5 years, they sustained each other through songs and dreams of freedom. His love had warmed the coldest parts of my soul and given me hope in darkness, Makai reflects. The memory of losing him remains too painful to revisit. In her second chance at life, finding Zrael becomes a primary goal alongside her revenge. Meanwhile, strange magical beasts begin appearing in the restricted forest and breach the Academy's barriers, something unprecedented in Makai's previous life. During training, she discovers evidence including a mangled grizzly bear corpse. Later, a massive blue-eyed beast pursues her, but mysteriously spares her life, even healing her wounds before disappearing. This beast is later revealed to be Malin, one of the Infernal Four. During the Winter Ball, beasts attack the Academy, creating chaos as students and faculty battle mindless creatures. Annex is fatally wounded, gored through the chest. As he dies in Makai's arms, he explains he calls her Red because she's dangerous, fearless, and his salvation. "Taking another piece of my soul," Makai narrates. Yet amid tragedy, hope emerges. Makai has formed genuine connections with people who value her. Ezra, whose passionate kiss promises more, Morgan, who defended her against Xander, and Malin, whose beast form mysteriously healed her. The possibility of finding Zrael, the mate who sustained her through darkness, remains. Adding intrigue are Makai's evolving abilities and strange black marks that appeared on her hips after rebirth, later spreading to her ankles, curved lines with crescent shapes that feel as if they were always meant to be there. Most significantly, Makai has reclaimed her agency. No longer seeking approval from those who mistreat her, she stands up for herself and others. After saving Morgan from a beast, Makai realizes, if I could change hers, I could definitely change my own. Her journey suggests her second chance offers a future defined by her choices, not her past victimization.